Hello, guys, and welcome back to the Suddenly 20s podcast. Welcome to episode 4, I think it is. Today is a health episode, and we are going to be talking about cosmetic beauty, all things cosmetic nursing, and just things in the cosmetic industry. And today we have a guest on, Mackenzie. Would you like to introduce yourself a little bit?
Thank you for having me on this podcast. I feel very privileged. My name's Mackenzie. I am 24. I have been a nurse for 3 years now, originally in the hospital system. And then last year I came over to the dark side and started doing injectables instead. I am based at GC Skin Boutique on the Gold Coast. So we have a clinic in Surfers Paradise and in Kira. But I'm there full time, so you can catch me at either clinic. And our Instagrams are GC Skin Boutique, or my own personal one is youth_by_Mackenzie.
Amazing. That was such a good introduction.
Do you mind me asking, like, what made you want to get into cosmetic nursing, and like, what's the process if there's anyone listening that wants to get into that area?
So I originally decided to become a nurse in the last year of high school, as I had a family member that was quite unwell at the time. So it wasn't really cosmetic to begin with. I just honestly fell in love with the profession and then kind of worked out I was pretty good at it at the same time. I then pretty much it landed in my lap. I was doing palliative and oncology nursing care, and it just kind of became a bit too much, and I just wanted a break. And I kind of, if you want to say, got scouted as an injector. And then I've just done a few courses privately and within my own clinic, and yeah, worked out my own technique, and here we are.
Lovely. So how many years is that at university?
So you have to do your 3 years of Bachelor of Nursing at university, and then you have to do certain courses as well. So each individual treatment that we do offer is a course. So you've got your lip fillers, your injectable, like jaw fillers, everything like that. Yeah, and you've got to you can just be like trained within the clinic yourself, but I like to have pieces of paper. So I've done a fair few just to make sure that I'm covered legally and just within my own self.
True. So so you do have to go through the registered nurse through uni first. I hear that's like a question for a lot of people, if you have to be a registered nurse before and in like a cosmetic injector. So yeah, that's always good to know.
Yeah.
So it would take a bit of time.
Yeah, it's definitely hard to get in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely hard to get into. And if you hate blood and guts and all of that stuff, it's quite hard because you do have to do your 3 years. That is nothing to do with cosmetic. Yeah, you've got to wipe some butts and do all the gross stuff first and then come over to the more pretty side, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's so interesting to know. So at your clinic, so do you do do a range of procedures? What sort of procedures like do you offer, and what's like your most popular, do you reckon?
Our most popular procedures would be your lip fillers and your anti-wrinkle treatments. That would definitely be your crowd favorites. But we do offer your jawline sculpting, your tear troughs, your cheeks. We do your platysma bands, which is the neck bands that give you look like kind of like a frill neck lizard.
Oh my God.
We do our cog threads. Everyone says that, but I don't even know how to do the motion. So. And then you have your cog threads and all your skin treatments as well. There's way more than most people realize that you can get done.
Yeah.
So you can do your trapezium muscles and relax all those. So yeah, it's quite interesting.
Yeah. There's like a lot more than you'd think.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite?
Probably the lip fillers. They're probably my favorite. Just because you can just do way more like creating. Otherwise, it would be your cog threads, just because they're more, it's a non-surgical, non-invasive procedure. Your lip filler is definitely my favorite. It's just the funnest one to do and kind of the most, I don't know, gory, if you could say. So my nursing instinct comes out a bit more than just your regular Botox.
Yeah. So do you learn, like you said, that you can be like creative and do like the different shape lips. Do you learn the shapes while you're like studying, or is that something you develop personally?
So you can definitely, each injector definitely has their own injecting technique. And that's why I have done so many different courses with so many different clinics and injectors. I just kind of watch them and see how they do it, and then have altered it a range of their different ones to do my own. But every lip shape is completely different. So it also depends on the individual themselves and how I do it, where some injectors just do their same lip technique. I don't really vibe that. So I've done a fair few just to adjust it and make it look as natural as possible.
For the patient. Yeah. Oh, that's really good. There's a question. I forget what I was going to ask. I was going to ask, what are the hardest lips to like do filler on? Is it when you have like no lip?
They're called M-shaped lips. So they tuck under, and they also have like, there's pretty much just not a lip at all. They're definitely the hardest, just because you can fill them and fill them and fill them, but they tend to tuck under rather than project. So it is like a building process, but they're definitely the hardest.
Is that where you just slowly build over time, or like maybe you couldn't really get the outcome you want with those?
Yeah, you can definitely build them over time, but you have to have a client that is willing to do that. Your lip fillers are, I'm not going to lie, quite painful, and they are quite costly. So if you can come back with an M-shaped lip, if you can come in 3 months to 6 months and before they've dissolved again, then we can build. But, like I said, it is quite a process for those.
It's a process, yeah.
Yeah. And what's the process with getting them dissolved as well? Like, I've heard that sometimes people get over it and they come in and they actually want you to dissolve them rather than them naturally dissolve.
Yeah, so most people that get them dissolved, it's a like medication called Hylase. It does sting way more than your filler, so most people are scared to dissolve, and also because you have no lips after. And people get used to it, but most of the time people come in, it's just because they have migration either above the lip or in their lip itself, and you get that weird look. The Gold Coast is very known for that look. But yeah, it's pretty good once you highlight, because then we have a bigger canvas to work with. There's room that we can add filler into and kind of recreate a shape if they are migrated. You're just going to keep migrating them, and it's just not going to work.
Is there something you can do to avoid the migration, or is that just something that happens?
There's definitely some injectors have a technique where they go below the wet dry border and bring it up, which does project your lips a bit more, but it also does put a filler where the filler's not meant to be. So your filler's meant to be in your lip where it can dissolve and, I don't know, kind of shape itself, where if you put it below that wet dry border, it will just stay in there. It can't dissolve or shape. So you kind of just look like you have bumps. And you see when some girls smile, their smile and lips are bumpy. That's migration. Or they have that kind of ape look, I guess you could say. Their lip kind of just all folds into one over there. Some people are naturally have that. I know that mine naturally look like I've constantly got filler. I don't have any filler in my lips, but it looks like I've got big lips. So it is quite hard naturally if you're doing it lucky. So often to no, but it is quite hard to get away with the migration if you're getting them so often. So definitely find an injector you trust, because they'll tell you the truth.
And how often, like, are you meant to get your lips done? Like, if you want to sort of maintain the prime look that you're obviously trying to achieve, how often do you have to do that, and what's the cost as well?
So at our clinic, our cost is $399 for 1 mil, and we don't do any more than 1 mil. That's for the softest product that we offer. If you want a firmer product, if your lips dissolve quicker than they're meant to, then it is $499. But most people start off with the 399 one. It does differ with every individual client. Some people metabolize the filler way more than other people do. So it is on paper meant to last about 3 to 6 months. Some people can get a year, some people can get under the 3 months. If you're unlucky, you'll dissolve it pretty quick. If you're really lucky, you'll hold it and won't need it as often. But yeah, like I said, it's individual.
Yeah. Do you have any more like lip questions, Steph, or?
I mean, like, I don't know. I'm just generally curious because, like, I've always wanted to do it, but at the same time, like, do people, in your work, do you look at a client's lips and you figure out, like, you kind of recommend what you want to give them, like, whether it's just the top lip or both lips and that sort of stuff, or do people come in with a style?
Yeah, some people come in and they have their inspo. Most of the time it's an Instagram girl that has a filter and you don't look anything like that. Mm. She doesn't even look like that. So it is meeting people's expectations of what their lip shape looks like. For example, if you have an M-shaped lip, you will never, regardless of what anyone says, you will never get that shape of a Russian lip or nice Cupid's bow. It just won't happen and you'll end up with migration and dissolving, which is not fun. I'm a bit of a perfectionist, so I stare at you majority of the time and make sure they're all even and see what they look like. Perfectionist, pretty much OCD, so it's not fun. But yeah.
No, that's
I just
good
alter it to each individual client. Yeah.
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 No, that's good because obviously you hear some injectors that like give too much or they will just I'll try that on you and it's just ends up a disaster, which leads into my next question. Have you seen like any horrific like horror stories or like anything you've had to fix or like anything crazy?
Yeah, I wouldn't really say I wouldn't say horror stories. There's definitely your overfilled clients and they don't want dissolved, but every injector and every clinic have their own version of what's too much, and it will differ with each individual client and their opinions and preference of that. Personally, I'm more of a natural injector, so I aim literally just to make it natural. I want people to question whether you've had your filler done or not, and more enhance rather than change what your lips already look like. I just don't do that. But with horror stories, there can definitely be adverse events which happen with any injection to your face. Obviously, we're putting needle and medication in your face. And if you Google the amount of veins and arteries, you would be quite shocked. We do have to pretty much go in blind. So it's a risk that we have to take as injectors and clients. You'd take your hat off if you knew what we had to work with.
Yeah,
but everything can be reversed. It might just have to take some time to wear off, or we might like have to dissolve it, but most of the time it's pretty easy to reverse.
Well, that's, with those clients that obviously there's like a lot of migration, this is still on lip fillers. I feel like this is the number one like topic everyone's like into.
The number one question.
How do you even say no to the patients that like don't need anymore?
So it's kind of going back again, you need to choose your injector and you need to trust the clinic that you're going to. Some clinics, they'll take your money. So if you want your lips big and they're already way too big, they'll just keep filling and filling. I personally think if you're going to walk out looking ridiculous and someone asks you where you get your lips done and you say my name, I'm not going to have a good rep. So I would prefer to save my name and what people think of my work rather than just filling because I want to meet my quota or just because you really want them done. I am quite straight up. Some people aren't. But, like I said, I don't want people looking at my work and thinking that's stupid.
Yeah, no, that's so true. That's so fair enough.
I've got another question. Do you find that like different procedures you'd recommend for different ages? Like Botox, would you suggest that at like a young age to prevent?
Yeah, like as a preventative.
Or is that something that like middle-aged, yeah, like can middle-aged people still get it? And like even with like fillers and stuff like that, do older women dissolve that faster, for instance? And like how does age play a factor?
So with your Botox in our clinic, this probably won't make sense. It's kind of like Panadol and Paracetamol, but we choose to use a product that's called Dysport. It's exactly the same. It's just like clinically on paper, it's different. We suggest to do it as a preventative. So if you're young, obviously, like I'm 24, and I've done my forehead. But I think if you start to put your makeup on and those creases are still on your forehead at rest, go get it.
Yeah.
Those creases will remain if you don't do it. Like you don't have to do it every 6 to 8 weeks or whenever your first wrinkle comes back. Obviously, we're young. We don't really need to be getting it that early. Yeah. But it just helps not deepen those lines. You find with your older clients when they come in and if they haven't had it before, those resting lines will forever remain. Okay. We just have to help not like get them deeper. So that's where we put your Botox in, and it does not freeze. Your lines will still be there, those creases, but you just won't get them worse and worse.
Yeah.
Right.
Some older like women, if they come in, even men, for instance, and they've been getting it for years and years, you kind of do see that the product won't last as long for them only because their body is so used to it now. So you kind of just bring in other alternatives such as like your skin needling, which I definitely recommend in like conjunction with that. Otherwise, it's honestly everyone's different. Like my boss, she works at such a high stress level that her filler, anti-wrinkle, everything lasts like 2 weeks, if that. Luckily, she owns a clinic. But for like other people, they might last
mine
a year.
Would not last long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
So it just, it's, yeah, you can't make promises with it. Everyone's different.
Yeah.
So you just have to kind of work out what works for you and add skin treatments in and wear sunscreen. And
Yeah.
All right. I've got another question as well, cause I'm just curious. I'm so sorry. With filler. Where are the different places that like I'd say most commonly you put filler? So obviously the lips, but like what, you know, is there like cheek filler and jaw filler and all of that sort of stuff? Like what are the different places?
So you've got your jaw filler, obviously you're sculpting, so you can do a more defined jawline. You've got your cheeks, you've got your tear trough, the smile lines. When you smile and you get those creases, they're called your nasolabial folds. You can do them there as well. That's kind of really the main places you really want to do. And then your chin as well. Your chin is a very underrated one, I find. Your cheeks and your chin, it just can change your whole entire face. But that's really all the fillers that you can kind of do. Your tear trough, I tend to stay away from. The other nurse I work with, she does it a fair bit. I don't really do it. You have to be a really good candidate for it. But yeah.
Is there more like risks associated with that one because it's near the eye?
Yeah, there's definitely risks. Like I said, if you Google your arteries in your face, there's some main ones that can, it's called a vascular occlusion. So don't mean to scare anyone if they want to get fillers. But it's where we can accidentally put some filler into a vein or artery. If that does get blocked, it can lead to necrosis of the skin or blindness. We, in our own clinic, have something that can dissolve it, which is your hyalase, and we can dissolve it just as quickly as we've popped it in there, unless it gets unnoticed. I've seen a few, so I know what they are and I can dissolve it really quickly. Some clinics don't really know what they look like. But in your tear trough, that can be a main facial artery that can be blocked quite easy. It also, if you have allergies or anything with your tear trough, it can do the opposite effect. So it can bulge your eye socket kind of out rather than just smoothing it. So you get tear trough if you have sunken eyes. But if you get allergies and you have sunken eyes, it's going to do the opposite effect and you're just going to look puffy and kind of ridiculous. It can also, if it gets put in the wrong spot, look bubbly. So these are all just things that you have to take into consideration, and your injector will run through them with you. I just find it's too risky, and I don't really want to. You have to be a perfect candidate for it.
That is so interesting.
There is so much to learn. Like, everyone thinks it's just doing your lip filler and doing your brown, but it's there's a lot behind
involved.
I'm that kind of like client that would just come in with 100 questions, so I'm like getting them out now.
I love those questions though. Fire away, give them to me.
Does you said the lip filler is different for everyone, like some people could last a year, some like 2 weeks. Is that the same with all types of filler, like anywhere in the face?
Yeah, your lips tend to dissolve the most because you are, like, we use this muscle so much, and you're like your lips, obviously. With your jawline, it tends to stay a bit longer, also because the filler itself is a firmer product. So your cheeks and your jaw filler, pretty much everywhere by your lips, is a firmer filler than your lips. So it does go a bit quicker. But like any muscle, if we put anti-wrinkle in it, and we do like your lip flips, for example, we're constantly talking, constantly drinking, constantly doing all that stuff. So that muscle is in overdrive. So that's going to dissolve way quicker than doing your brow lift, where you don't really raise your eyebrows that much unless you wow every day.
Yeah. You mentioned the lip flip. How does that difference between a lip filler? Like, how would you choose which one to get?
So your lip filler is more for your volume and projection. Your lip flip is where, when you smile, the corner of your mouth will tuck in. We relax that muscle, which is called your orbicularis oris. So it relaxes. Instead of it going and tucking under, it just pops back out.
Okay.
The only thing with your lip flip is if you're a singer or you play a musical instrument with your mouth, or any other things with your mouth, that motion can no longer work. So brushing your teeth, for example, instead of spitting, you kind of have to drool for a little while. Drinking out of straw is not possible for a little while, just while your brain sends a signal to your muscle to work. So that muscle is relaxed. So some people hate lip flips. Some people hate lip flips. Some people love them. But it's more for the girls that their smile tucks under instead of popping back out. And it's just, if you don't want your lip like filler, that's the second option. For some girls, just to make it look a bit more like they've had it.
Interesting. So many things. When we're talking about like the Botox or the anti-wrinkle, you mentioned skin needling. So is there other ways to like prevent your skin aging? Is that what you meant by that?
Yeah, so your skin needling is definitely one of them. I always recommend getting your skin needling as well as getting your anti-wrinkle. It just kind of delays you having to get it as much. It tightens your skin, it produces collagen, it gets rid of fine lines. And if you can do it monthly or 2 monthly, then you'll just start to notice your skin feels fresher, it looks fresher. You're a bit more tighter. I always recommend for the ladies or men that come in and their anti-wrinkle isn't lasting to definitely start getting their skin needling, just because it can help just that little bit extra. But there's so many different skin treatments you can get as well. I'm definitely not a skin genius. I have a heavy hand, so facials are not my thing. But there's so much more that you can do. Plus your sunscreen. And what's involved? I can't recommend that enough.
Sunscreen. Yes. What's involved with the skin needling? Like, does that hurt? Is it like pain free, or and the cost for that?
So we do numb the face with a slightly less numbing cream than we do your lips, because your lips obviously is going to hurt more. It's kind of just like a facial treatment. So we're just penetrating the skin, causing a bit of trauma to it. So sometimes I personally go really, really red and kind of get a sunburnt feeling, which is the best way to describe it. It's not like the length of time to recover isn't long. It's the rest of the day. And you're quite red for that. And then you just feel tight and sunburnt. It's really pain-free as long as they numb your face, because you are putting tiny little needles into your face kind of. So it kind of goes pain-free. Obviously, it's a bit sensitive on like your bony parts, like your forehead or the tip of your nose, but we're sensitive plucking tweezers with our eyebrows. So it's, it's just the same.
And after the procedure, is it like no sun for like a couple of weeks or anything after?
Yeah. It's just for the few days. So it's the same with your cosmetic injectable treatments. There's no saunas or gym or exercise, anything that raises your heat level for the rest of the day. Yeah. With your injectables, it's no alcohol, as you can bruise a bit more. We do recommend icing with your injectables. You don't have to ice, obviously, with your skin treatments. And then just no makeup either for the rest of the day. So it is for 24 hours, but obviously some people need to wear makeup for work or going out or whatever, so we just say 24 hours really. With your injectables, it's no lying flat or on your face for the 4 hours. You need to remain upright, and just like when you're washing your face or touching your face, you'd need to do more of a patting motion rather than rubbing, as the product can move for a little while.
Interesting. I mean, it doesn't sound too bad to like take care of afterwards.
No, it's really easy as long as you ice. As long as you ice and just keep your like skin clean, just because it is open pores, so you can get infections if you obviously don't remain clean. But other than that, it's really not hard.
Well, we had a few questions that people sent in through Instagram. Do you mind if we just ask you like a random few of them?
Yeah, of course.
So I think the one that stood out to me the most was that somebody asked that I think she said she wanted to get either her lips done or she wanted to get Botox before her wedding. Do you recommend like not doing the first procedure of particular things before weddings, like to give it a go beforehand so you know whether it works or is going to react and things like that?
Yeah, so you can, your healing process for any treatment cosmetic wise is up to 2 weeks, unless you get a more severe one like your cog threads, which is a tiny bit more invasive. That's a bigger healing process. But for example, if you get your lips done, 2 weeks is the maximum that they'll heal for and bruise. With your anti-wrinkle, it's the same. So it takes about 4 days to 2 weeks to kick in. I probably would say if you've never had it before and you are a bit nervous, probably do it about 2 months before, just because if anything did happen, we can fix it and it can wear off a bit more than 2 weeks. And then, I don't know, your face droops, for example. That would be something that you can't reverse. With you've got what's called spocking, where your eyebrow raises. You would have seen it on the movie Just Go With It. You can fix that. You can drop it down a bit more. But if you drop like droop, your eye droops, then you can't fix that. That's just got to wear off. So definitely do it about 3 months before, and then we can top it up, but definitely 2 weeks before.
Pretty sure you've answered most of the questions we had in anyway, but there is another one about the brows. So is there anything you can do to like lift the brows? I know there's like a few treatments out there like for brow lifts or
So it's called a chemical brow lift, which is what we do. It's just a tiny little injection point on either side of the tip of your brow, like the tail. It's the same product that you would use in your forehead or anywhere else for your anti-wrinkles. It just slightly lifts. It's not drastic, so if you've got hooded lids or anything, it's not gonna get rid of that. It will literally just slightly lift and make you feel more open. There is with your cog threads, the cat lift. Obviously some people would have seen it on TikToks and everything. It's where you thread it up.
I literally saw that last night.
Yeah. It's a Bella Hadid Kendall Jenner look. Yeah. I've done a few of them. They're not what you think. They're not going to stay all catted up like Bella Hadid, that surgical treatment. It does work while it's healing, and then once it stops healing, kind of just goes back a little bit more normal. So, yeah, you can get it done, but if you don't want it as invasive treatment, definitely just start with your chemical brow lift. It's really cheap. it's only one needle on either side, really quick and easy.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I definitely saw that on TikTok from someone who obviously it had gone wrong and she had huge
I saw that head. Yesterday.
And I was like, I didn't even know.
Yeah, so that's a really bad gone, like that's really wrong. She
not woman.
Yeah, she I think she said she went to a surgeon or something, but that's called puckering. So with anything of your cogs, it's where you lift your skin up and tightens. Obviously, if your skin, you have loose skin and you've tightened it so much, you will get like a dimple effect. And that's called puckering. She's obviously got it. Too much skin has been pulled up here and it's healed that way. Looking at her skin though, she is keloidy. So she had a keloid scar, which is a risk when you're obviously getting a surgical treatment done. She would get that with surgery, for example. And yeah, hers has just healed completely wrong. The poor girl. Right. But I think she was getting them removed is what I saw. But yeah, it is all part of the risk that you take and you need to have a look, but yeah.
So is there something under the skin pulling it? Is that what that is?
Yeah. So it's a barbed thread. If you go onto my Instagram, I do have a few videos doing it. It is, if you don't like needles and you don't like looking at stuff like that, don't watch it. But it is quite interesting to watch. You do have the thread come out of your face and it does remain under your skin. It lasts for about 2 years, 18 months to 2 years.
Oh my God.
And then you'll never have to get that amount again. Obviously, thanks to gravity, our faces and skin will constantly drop and change and all that stuff. So we're too young. We do not suit that criteria at all.
Yeah.
But we do have some young girls come in and get it done just where you've got the jowl area, which is this little part of your face that droops next to your chin. And we just kind of pull it up, lift it, tighten it, and then clip it off. And, yeah, but definitely have a look at my Instagram. I've got a few videos on there, so you'll see what it's
so after what it the involves. 2 years, do you just, like, re-tighten it or does something come out? Or
we have to put more in so they'll dissolve. No. They literally, we make a little entry point with a cannula and feed the barb down, like the little wire, kind of looks like fishing line, down your face. We then rub your skin up and pull your skin tight, then twist it off. We do about three normally in your each side of your face if you're doing the mid area. That then, like that, I don't know, fishing line, can dissolve or thread dissolves over time and then we'll just have to put more in. It won't be the same one. It's just another treatment. It is quite expensive, so it's nice that it lasts a bit longer, but it's also if something was to go wrong, like with your puckering, if you pucker too much, we can always pop it back out. So once again, it's not permanent. It will remain under your skin, but it just won't be the tightening effect.
That's so weird that it's it would be like underwear. I'm gonna have to
watch some people videos. Have said that they can still feel it under their skin, like the little thread itself in their mouth. If they rub their tongue along their cheek or whatever, they can feel it. It is there's nothing that can go wrong. It's not like your filler where it can block something. It can just lean against a nerve, but if you rub it, it pops off the nerve, so it's nothing extravagant. It's just more the bruising and healing that is the worst part of it. Yeah.
Oh, that's so interesting. I feel like this.
And you said it was expensive. How much is it?
It depends on every client. So it does range from about 1800 up, depending on which area and how much you need. But that's that's probably the minimum.
Yeah.
So interesting. Yeah. Wow, interesting. There's so many like more procedures out there than like I even thought.
Oh, there's so many. You have no idea what you can do.
Well, we
I didn't even know before being an injector. I walked in thinking, oh yeah, like your forehead and your frown and your lip fillers, and then you train, like I've done your hands, I can do your sweat glands. I can do your platysma bands, which are these ones. I can do your traps. Yeah, it never stops.
Well, I feel like we've asked you a lot of questions, and I'm sure it might actually make people have more questions when they're listening. So maybe we can get you to help us do like a Q&A on Instagram or something and answer a few questions if people are dying to know anything. But I feel like we've been chatting for 36 minutes and we appreciate you coming on so much.
Thank you for having me.
Hopefully I answered them all.
Yes, no problem.
I probably said some confusing things, but if you need any more questions, I'm more than happy to answer them. I do love explaining stuff, so kind of works well for me. But it is interesting to do your research. That's the main thing that I can suggest.